Do you remember, adults, not long ago, that a group of Coptic Christians had their heads cut off by ISIS right near where Carthage would have been? In many generations, it has been very dangerous to be a Christian. Well, let's talk about something that's a little happier. I hope that you all are doing well on your Lenten discipline and that you have made this book part of it, that you're reading a chapter a day. If you haven't gotten your book, I still think there are some out there at the hospitality desk that you can pick up. And we're just reading a chapter a day as we study along as a whole parish. We have many small groups that are studying it from time to time. I'm working with a group on Monday mornings. And we're talking about it and just letting this book kind of inform our Lenten journey from Ash Wednesday to Easter. And I wanted to just highlight a couple of things very quickly. This comes from the 19th chapter, which he entitles Miracles Abound. And he's talking about the miracles of Jesus initially. And then he asks the question, what are your favorite miracles of Jesus? If you could perform one of them, which would you choose and why? Ask a bunch of college kids and they would choose changing water into wine. But ask the mother of a chronically sick child, and she will choose to heal her daughter. Some miracles are very radical, but some miracles are rather ordinary. And then he tells a wonderful story, and I want to go ahead and read it for just a moment. I have a friend, he writes, who has had a very difficult life. A few years ago, I noticed something that had been in front of me my whole life, but I'd never completely connected the dots. Anytime we go to a social gathering of any type, he ends up spending the majority of the time at the event with the most unlikely person. When I became conscious of it, I asked him about it, and he explained to me that he has suffered a lot in his life, and as a result, he can tell when someone else is suffering. I probed a little bit further, and this is what he said. When I go into any room, I look for the person who is suffering the most, and I just try to ease their pain in whatever way that I can. You know, when most people walk into a room, oh, they look for the people they know, the ones that they most enjoy being with, the ones that they really like to talk to, or they may be looking in this political year for somebody who can grant them a political favor. Or they might be looking for the person who it's most socially advantageous to be seen with. Years and years ago, I had a friend when I was in the Episcopal Church who was notorious about doing just that when you came into a social gathering or a party. He would come in. And Bert, I'm going to borrow you for just a second, if you would stand up. Just a minute. He would come into a party, and you'd walk up, "Oh, Jeff, it is so good to see you." And Jeff would be going, "Oh, yes, it's so good to see you too, Scott. Yes, we've got to get together soon. You have a good time now." He was always cruising the greater group to see if there was one person out there who was more important than me. Well, I can tell you, in any group over two or three, there's going to be someone there more important than me. But you never felt that Jeff ever gave you his full and complete attention. Well, let's move on for just a minute. In the next chapter, in chapter 20, he talks about what he calls and what the church is called agape, or you may have heard it pronounced agape. It is the deep love without conditions. The deep love without conditions. The Gospels, he says, are the ultimate guide to agape love. This love is selfless, sacrificial, generous, and unconditional. By contrast, the types of love that are widely proclaimed and practiced in modern society are outrageously conditional. This creates a tremendous confusion about what love is and what love isn't. Young people are obsessed with being liked, wanted, desired, and accepted. And they will do almost anything in our world to obtain these things. But deep down, what they really want? Agape love. They want to be loved not because of how they look or what they can do for another person, but simply for who they are. That is how God loves us. Our yearning to be loved is our yearning for God. And one more quick paragraph. And it's not just young people. This love confusion is now a multi-generational crisis, he writes. So many men and women are in long-standing relationships. He didn't say marriage, he said relationships, in which their acceptance is based on how they look or what they will do for another person. They live in constant fear that if they stop looking a certain way or no longer please their partner in certain ways, that they will be banished. These relationships give birth to all types of paranoia and neuroses. These are the fruits of control and manipulation, but they are not the fruit of love. Love deeply desires everything that is good for another person. We as parents all know that we would do anything for the good of our children, not just because they're going to be the ones that choose our nursing home, as much as that is true, but because we love them. We can't explain that love. It just is. It's a love of a parent to a child. We love them, and nothing can get in the way of that love. You know, a lot of people from time to time, when you tell them you're Catholic, they go, oh, how can you be part of that church? There's so many rules and regulations, and God appears so strict, and, well, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. As parents, especially when our children are younger, we have to have a lot of rules about running with scissors, going out in the front yard by yourself, playing on the staircase, putting hairpins in a plug-in. Anybody? I've got a cousin who still has curly hair from that. Why? Because we as adults are obsessed with rules? Of course not. Because we are obsessed with the good of our children. We need to always begin with the rules and the regs of Christianity. The rules and the regs of Catholic Christianity. By remembering first and foremost that what God wants us for us more than anything else is our genuine well-being. Not our transient happiness. Not our simply feeling good for a little while. God as our Heavenly Father, God as a loving parent, wants for us the good that will continue to grow in us until eternity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.